Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Monday, May the 21st, 2018. It's 4 p.m. Eastern Time, your second daily dose of happy for the day. And I have to say, Wendy, I am happy because the main part of the work with my book, with our book, I should say, is done. It's in front of Amazon. They're doing their processing. I believe, actually, the paperback is now live. And I guess I don't know why the ebook takes longer. That doesn't make any sense to me, but the ebook takes longer to publish. Go figure. I haven't figured that one out. But there you go. You know, that's just the world of the internet. But yeah, we got a book. How about that?
That is so cool. I'm very excited. We started doing our social media promoting today.
Yep.
And so, you know, anybody who has not yet gone to our Facebook group, which is called LOA Today.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's
yep,
where
the business page, right.
The most updated news on what's taking place.
That's
so
right.
If for some reason you miss a show, you go to our Facebook page and you'll be able to see when you can access the book for free.
That's right, yeah. And it's actually going to be on Friday that we're going to have the link available. As soon as I have it, I'll be publishing it. And then it'll be 4 days of mass chaos as people request free ebooks.
Cool.
And I like that kind of chaos. Awesome. That's the kind of chaos I really love.
Oh, Walt. Okay. If you're liking chaos, let's go for it.
Well, just that particular kind. Not all kinds of chaos.
Just
that one. I'm very specific about my asks.
Well, that's good.
So that was my weekend, basically getting the book out there. How was your weekend?
Let's see. My weekend was busy. My sister and I traveled about a 3-hour trip to go visit our niece because she was graduating. So we got to be part of the graduation ceremony, and then we got to spend time with family, and then we drove back home. So it was a really long day. But, you know, it was so fun because so many things that I've been desiring for my family, I'm seeing come to happen. And my little sister and I had wonderful conversation, and you know, I've taught her many things about law of attraction, and it was so fun to hear how she now interprets what I've shared with her and how she asks questions based on law of attraction and how she was having these aha moments. And at one point, because she had told me about something that had happened with her lawnmower, I think Friday night or Thursday or something like that. And she called me just kind of in this, what do I do? And we just kind of started talking about it from a law of attraction perspective. And she said, well, actually, I've been thinking about it and asking questions for the last couple of hours, which I got to tell you, that in itself was almost shocking to me because that's what I do.
Ah.
And she said, and I didn't call you until I just hit the point where I just didn't know what else to do. And she had pretty much figured out most of it, and it just took a little bit of, you know, insight where I shared this, this, and this, and she went, oh, I get it. Okay, cool. And so she got a big epiphany as to, like, what the lawnmower represented and how it metaphorically was really a message for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday, when we were driving down to the graduation, she kind of was telling me the rest of the story about how she was able to get the lawnmower fixed and how her friend who was fixing it, she was asking, well, what does this do? And what does that do? And how do all these parts go together? Which when she was explaining it to me, all of a sudden she had one of these, and I said, what? And she was giving me a high five and she like wasn't speaking. And I'm like, what's going on? I just got it. I'm like, what did you just get? And she goes, I got the full picture. Of what this message was for me. Get it. And she said, okay, so I understand it in my head. I don't know how to say the words. I said, I know, that's usually how this kind of insight comes.
Yes, it does.
So she kind of took a deep breath and went, maybe this, maybe that. And she spit out enough words that I then threw in a couple more between the two of us, even though we couldn't have explained it in a way that looks pretty for somebody who doesn't know what the heck we're talking about. We both looked at each other and we said to each other, but we get it. We like totally get it.
That's great.
So that was so fun because I've mentored her for a long time. And now I get to see the fruits of my labor where she's really getting it. You know, that she's now taking what she's learned from me and she's like doing it independently. And, you know, that was over joyfully fun for me.
Yeah, I would say.
What else happened? Oh, yeah. So we're heading down there and I get a text message from one of my clients. And as I'm reading it, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to respond real quick because my sister and I weren't in conversation at that moment. And as I go to respond, my phone starts acting up. And like, I realize my phone died. I don't mean out of juice, it's out of charge. I mean, it blew up, it's dead.
Ooh.
This is not retrievable. This one is a goner.
Oh, no. Oh, well.
So my response was, that's interesting. And then my little sister goes, so what in you attracted that? And I laughed and I said, I don't know, but I sure am going to figure that out. But that's what just, that excited me like you would not believe. That she would have the wherewithal to have that be one of her first thoughts because she's making the connection.
She is, yeah.
That what happens in our life, we have some kind of energetic creation in that.
Mm-hmm.
So in the meantime, you know, we get down to the graduation and one of my nieces is like mega tech oriented. And so I said, hey, I hate to do this to you, but here's what happened with my phone. Can you look at it and just kind of give me your diagnosis? So she played with it for a few moments, you know, it was kind of cool. She did all the things I did, pulled out the battery, you know, put it back in, restarted it, whatever. But this time she got something on the face that I hadn't, which is there were these vertical lines and they were like flickering and flashing. And she goes, this equals it's dead.
Yeah, that's right. DOA.
This device has had all it's going to take and it's not coming back. And I'm like, okay. Well, at least you confirmed what I already knew. And so anyway, then I'll fast forward to, we're coming home that night and my sister, we landed at my sister's house. Then I got in my car to drive the last 30 minutes for me to come home. And I was listening to Abraham in the car. Ha ha, surprise, right? And
yeah, really.
I don't know what Abraham said, but it was based on something Abraham said. And I got this epiphany that had nothing to do with my cell phone. And I almost gasped and almost stopped breathing because it was so exciting.
Wow.
And I couldn't wait to get home to call my sister to tell her, which was really funny because since my cell phone was dead, because we always text each other when we get home, I had to go to a hard copy phone book that I still keep to look up her phone number. Because even though she's had that number for probably 20 years, I don't have it memorized.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we don't do that anymore. We used to memorize phone numbers all the time, but
I know. So it was really funny.
I can still remember phone numbers from when I was a kid, but I mean, it's crazy. I can't remember a phone number today, but I can remember a phone number when I was 7 years old. Figure that one out.
So when she said, call me when you get, she started with text me. Oh, you can't call me when you get home. It didn't dawn on her either that to call her meant I'd have to go find her number. So anyway, I called her and I said, I can't wait to tell you this. While I was driving home, you know, back into my Abraham moment, I have this epiphany. I said there was this flash of insight that, let's see, it has to do with Project X. It has to do with like the next income stream that's making its way into manifestation. I physically saw like in front of me, like what I'll call just a glob of like income stream number one was directly in front of me.
Cool.
And then like a leapfrog. Immediately behind it, I saw the implanting of income stream number two, and that was what this epiphany was about. And it has to do with me doing intensive work with individuals who like almost want me 24/7, where I'm willing to travel to them or they can travel to me, but we'll spend massive amounts of time together with like a full immersion process for about a year where we take their life from where it is to where they want it to be.
Wow.
And they will learn what I know and they will have guidance flowing for them like nobody's business because I will handhold them through every step of the process. Anyway, so that's kind of just for people to kind of understand what the next income stream piece is. That's what I call my intensive. And what was so exciting to me is I think I started sharing this with you last week or the week before, how I'm now better labeling how information comes to me. And when out of the blue, a memory of some situation in my life occurs, that's now my sign for, this is what my inner being is wanting me to understand about this current thing. Like, they're the same. And so in that flash of an instant that I received this knowing that, like, income stream number two was now moving into manifestation, I got the memory of, and people will know this when they read the book, because my chapter is the first chapter about me getting my house. And when I got into the house for the first time, I knew this was my house. And I won't give away all the details so people can read it in the book, but all the obstacles that appeared in my life immediately following me knowing this was my house, all these things just, like, showed up. But nothing derailed me because I knew this was my house. By the way, I live in this house, so we know I got this house.
That's true, yes.
And so the memory that came to me came with this, what I knew I was supposed to pay attention to, was that when I knew this was my house, no obstacle in the world was going to keep me from making this my house. And I didn't have to know how those obstacles were going to move out of the way. I didn't even know all the obstacles that were going to yet show up that I would have to move out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
But this was my house, and there was nothing that was going to stop it. And so what I knew in the flash of that moment was income stream number two, that I call the intensive, had been put in place, and it's done. Like, I can call it, I now have clients for that.
Wow.
They may not be in, like, I don't know who they are.
Right.
Just like I didn't know how I was going to get the house.
Right, yeah.
But I knew it was my house, and I know my clients are ready to roll, and I know my intensive income stream is now a done deal. It feels so complete, so done, that I was just like coming out of my skin. That was so exciting to me.
Mm.
So that's what I couldn't wait to share with my sister. It's what I couldn't wait to share today, because that's a huge Project X update.
Yeah.
Income stream number one is already in process, which is me doing coaching clients.
Mm-hmm.
Income stream number two is done on a vibrational level. It's complete. It's in place. It's ready to roll.
And just to clarify, I want to make sure I clarify, the intensive, this new income stream, this is not something that you'd previously planned out or anything. This is what came to you. Is that the idea?
I've actually had this desire for what I call an intensive for probably 5 years.
Oh, okay.
And I did have one gal, she's like a family member, but like more family of choice member, who called me with a problem, and she came and lived with me for about 7 or 8 months.
Oh, wow.
And she already had a key to my house, and I was going to be out when she came to move her stuff in. And I had put, like, on a picture that I have on the wall right across from the bed, I put this poster that said, "The intensive starts here."
Ooh.
Because I had just had that in my heart that I want to do intensive work with people. And because she lived with me, I mean, she was working, but because she lived with me, you know, we spent a lot of time together. Our lives naturally kind of were in the same place at the same time. And so I did coaching sessions with her. I taught her finance sessions. We talked about credit. We talked relationships. It's like whatever was going on in her life, I helped her with the strategies. I coached her. And of course, I was coaching her with law of attraction the whole time.
Sure, I'm sure. Yeah.
So by the time she left, she was in a solid place. The crisis that brought her here had now long passed. She had stabilized her life. She had her physical being, her financial well-being. So many things were now where, even if there were bumps along the way, she had the tools to navigate through them. And I always know when she's in crisis because she calls me. And I haven't heard from her in 4 years.
Oh, wow.
So that tells me she's okay.
That's
great.
And
I see her on Facebook, so I know what's really going on. But yeah, the giant crises of her life back then have really, like, gone away because she has the tools now.
So the intensive's really paid off then.
Yeah, and I've had this desire to create a product offering that would be an intensive. And of course, it wouldn't be for somebody who could barely pay the rent because it's going to be very expensive.
Oh, yeah. They're paying for lots of time from you, so it has to be.
Because it's a lot of my time. But it's something that I feel so juicy about and so excited about, because I feel like when I can help one person turn their life literally upside down, they'll tell a lot of other people.
Oh,
sure,
yeah.
I'll get more business from it. But what excites me is they'll start sharing what they've learned with others.
Mm-hmm.
So that the tools start to replicate without me. And
yes.
That's my real desire. I'm only one person. I can only work with so many people. But when you start to get the multiplication factor, because other people tell other people who tell other people,
mm-hmm.
It really makes a difference, because they have the proof that their life is different.
Yep, absolutely.
And all of their friends and family are be like, whoa, yeah, I see a difference. There's something new going on here. Which is like just like our book. There are 39 people telling their real life stories. This isn't just we made this stuff up to write a fiction book.
Yeah, right.
You know, this is nonfiction. These are real stories that real people have lived through, to, you know, and we want to inspire other people for what is really possible when you start getting, you know, whether you're conscious or not conscious. It's like the more conscious you become, the more deliberate you can be in your creation process.
And actually, as you read the stories, you realize how true to life the stories really are, because no one could invent some of these stories.
Well, and one of my stories about the house was when I knew nothing about law of attraction, but nonetheless, it still lets you see how law of attraction plays out. One story, I had heard about law of attraction, but really didn't understand how to use it. And then my third story, I was already a law of attraction practitioner, and I was using it deliberately. And so for my own personal sense of fun, I like that I have three different stories in three different phases of my law of attraction development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I will say, by far, the third story, it all happened so much easier. There were like so few bumps and, you know, speed bumps along the way.
Experience helps so much. It's ridiculous how much it helps. And I think that's what you were experiencing, that you had the experience and you had also had some knowledge by that point. You knew how the stuff worked, whereas
yeah.
the first time around,
yeah.
you know, like most of us, you didn't have a clue. So, yeah, of course it's going to be easier. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. But that's cool,
and,
though.
You know, last week, Friday, we had technical glitches.
Yes, we did.
And so we weren't able to do the show.
Yep.
And I just giggled. I didn't say this to you at the time, Walt, because bless your heart, you were really getting put through the ringer trying to figure out how to fix all the technical things. So I was doing my best not to like do any peripheral chatter. I was just letting you stay focused on what you needed to do.
Which I appreciate.
But I got off the phone with you and I thought to myself, man, I'm good. I really wasn't in the mood to do the show that day.
Okay.
So that was my part of it. Sorry. But my part was not creating somebody, technical struggles. But
I can't completely say that it's Microsoft Windows Update that did it. It was also a little energy from Wendy. All right. Now I get it.
Well, and energy from you. And there's a lot of people. Who knows? Maybe
this
other people couldn't come and join the show anyway.
Well, I'm trying to think back.
I really don't want to miss it. Okay. Not a problem. They didn't miss it.
I'm trying to think what my mood was, what my energy was on Friday. And I think I was a little bit frazzled, but I just don't really remember for sure.
Before you got to the show?
Before I got to the show. Yeah, I think the show, you know, with the technical issue just, you know, kind of accentuated it, so to speak.
Well, it has to be. I mean, whatever happens has to be an extension of the vibrations that we're sending forth.
Yeah, that's true. So that's got to be what was going on.
So I fessed up. I told you what mine was.
I would tell you if I could remember. I mean, last week, especially because the weekend was coming and I knew the weekend was going to be devoted to the book and it had been kind of a hectic week. That's why I say I think I was kind of frazzled. I don't really remember it clearly. Mm-hmm. I remember that we started doing the show. I remember that, we tried to start doing the show. I remember that nothing was working properly. And I'm thinking, what on earth went wrong? And then from that point on, it was just try to solve until finally, you know, I realized, I guess I'm not going to solve this in time. I had
so
to let go of it.
I put on the website, due to technical difficulties,
yes.
Our show's canceled.
Canceled today. Sorry. Come back next time. And actually,
the
difficulties actually carried over to Sunday too. I found that because you had helped me after our show slot to try to test a new configuration I put together just to find a way to make it work, and that configuration failed. And I'm thinking, oh, what's going on here? Because when I tried to do the show with David, all of a sudden that configuration we set up wasn't working anymore. So I had to come up with another configuration, the one that we're working on right now, which covers everything that we need in terms of putting the podcast out there. It's just that you can't hear the theme music, which, of course, has been it's a glitch from the past that's come back to haunt. But so for the most part, it's working right now. But basically, thank you to Microsoft Windows for doing all their wonderful security updates that included the sound system and basically ruined my settings.
Well, and speaking of settings and updates and whatnot, so let me now tell you a little bit of my story with my cell phone.
Oh, you forgot more about that. Okay.
Well, I had a memory card in there.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm thinking, okay, well, at least a bunch of stuff will be in my memory card.
Yep.
I didn't really know what was going to happen to my contacts or photos. But what's interesting is I like to compare who I used to be with who I am when I notice a big difference.
Okay.
I did not shed one moment of upset, anger, frustration, or concern about my data.
Nice.
Which was shocking to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, if I have to replicate it, oh well. If I lose my pictures, oh well. And I just had really no investment one way or another. And so as I was buying my new phone on Sunday, I was talking to the guy at, the T-Mobile store and telling him my situation and is there any way you can get the data? And he said, unfortunately, your phone has to at least be able to boot up for us to get the data. And he goes, what you're telling me is your phone is so dead. He goes, it sounds like your motherboard or some other digital thing he explained is just, a goner.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, okay. I said, well, what about my memory card? He goes, well, that I'll be able to take out and I could put it in your new phone. I said, okay, well, I think my photos are on my memory card. Okay, it's fine. And so, we went through the whole process and I just kept saying, okay, it's all fine. Whatever it is, it's all good. I had a wonderfully pleasant experience there. Our store opens at noon and it was pouring down rain at noon, but I was determined I was going to be there at noon. And something happened where I got just kind of distracted and I was doing some other stuff on the computer. And by the time I'm like, oh my gosh, I blew past the noon hour. And I looked to the clock, it was like 1 o'clock. And I went, oh well, no big deal. And there was just this slight thought, I wonder if I was delayed because the universe knows that the experience I want to have today is one where I walk in and I'm the only person they have to work with. So
well,
I get everybody's
thought.
Undivided attention.
That's a clever
and
thought.
And then it's a smooth transaction and then I leave. So when I get there, it's 1:15, slight drizzle, but nothing that I even needed an umbrella for. I'm like, I can get a few drizzles on me. It's okay. I go in there. The place is empty.
Nice.
There are two employees behind the counter and not one single customer. And I'm like, thank you, universe. This is exactly what I asked for. So I'm sure that's why I got distracted because I asked him, I said, oh, have you had any business yet today? And they said, oh, yeah, as soon as the doors opened, there were people here. We had a total of 6 customers. And now, obviously they're all gone and you're here by yourself. And I'm like, yep, love that.
Yeah.
So anyway, as kind as they can be, they treated me great, got the new phone I wanted, got everything set up. And, he couldn't promise me anything about the data. And I said, that's okay. It's all good. We'll see what happens. So I come home. I start playing with my new phone. And I'm like, gosh, where's the back button? I talk about everything being different. Because I went from a Samsung Galaxy 4, which is like really old, to a 9, which is really new.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I'm playing. And I'm like, it's like every time I started to think about reconstructing the data, I just kind of felt like, just wait. Just do what you absolutely have to do. So what I was doing is just going through the settings and trying to figure out, how do you access the things that I used to know how to access. And then I started adding a few apps. I pulled up my tablet, hoping that it would show me what apps that I had, because I pretty much use the same apps on all my devices. So I started adding a few apps, and it was cool because I got to kind of learn some functionality things. And then all of a sudden, I had one of the things the guy told me is, do you have a Gmail account? And I said, I do. And he said, because if you manually synced your Gmail account with your phone, you should be able to back up all of your contacts.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, ooh, that's a cool idea, but yeah. I don't think I did that. So I'm looking at all sorts of stuff going, okay, well, let's set myself up for success for the next time. Well, now I find out there's a Google update that can sync with your phone. Yep. There's a Samsung thing that can sync with your phone. I'm like, oh my gosh, they've made this so easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then my brain goes, hey, I have a system I paid for called iDrive. And it backs up all my data on my computer, my laptop. And I went, I wonder if I was able to connect it to my phone.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Guess what? It was there. It knew the name of my old phone. And I clicked the little button that said restore. And so I know that because I've done it with my laptop or my hard, the PC, that because there's so much data and you're doing it over the internet, it takes from the cloud, it takes 3 to 4 days. Or 7 days. It depends on how much data you have.
Right.
So it's one of those just wait and see. So I started it last night, but I could see that it was doing stuff. It's maybe halfway through the restoration process. All my photos are now there.
Hooray.
So I'm like, okay, if the photos are there, the contacts haven't showed up yet, but it's only halfway through the restoration process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wouldn't it be cool if everything comes back?
Yeah.
And would it surprise me if it does? Yes and no. But my favorite part is that I never let it get under my skin.
That's the best
part. Like, I was okay if it never showed back up.
Yep.
But I'm a bit happier if it does.
That's the best place
to be. So that was just kind of an interesting thing where I just kept feeling like, don't try to replicate anything right now. Don't start manually doing anything. And I was like, okay.
You know what you did? You brought your Staples Easy button with you. You pressed the Easy button and everything became easy.
I did. Boy, and I tell you, after this situation's over, I will become an inspirational marketing testimonial for iDrive.
Yeah, I'm sure. Very good.
So I just love how even when something looks like, oh my God, my phone has crashed, it's not really a crash. And it gave me a good reason to update to newer technology.
Yeah, you got a faster phone now. That's a good thing.
Uh-huh. I mean, it tells me it's faster. I don't know yet because I'm sitting here waiting while it's, uploading all this stuff. But that's cool. Mm-hmm. But it's cool. I mean, I now, instead of scanning or instead, when you open the phone, I used to not have a password. But now you have to have a password.
Mm-hmm.
But mine is set up with an iris scan.
Oh, really?
It scans my eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
And when the iris scan doesn't work, I do have a passcode. So I'm like, how high tech is this that I hold it up to my face and boom, I'm in. I'm like, that's so cool. It feels like I'm in a sci-fi movie.
Yeah. Right. Well, just make sure it's the right kind of sci-fi movie. You don't want the kind where they cut the, no, don't go there.
Well, I wasn't going wherever the heck you want.
Good,
you
good,
were
good.
Going just now. I went to my kind of sci-fi,
good,
which
good.
Is Star Trek and Voyager.
Yeah, that's the
and
kind.
All those things,
there you go. That's
which
good.
Had the high-tech stuff,
Yep.
So
good.
So that's all very cool.
Yeah, that's
nice. How my weekend was. Thank
that's
you for
That's a
asking.
Great one. Yeah. That's a fantastic ending for a weekend where you could have taken it either way. I mean, you definitely had the choice how you were going to react to that, and you reacted beautifully. Wow. Really good.
I just love how reacting that way is coming so natural to me now.
Mm.
I mean, I know that over time I used to react horribly. Then I would react badly. Then I would react. My auto response was go down the negative road. But then I had awareness that I had choice. And then it was a little bit rough, but I would choose the good pattern or the good direction. And then it felt manual, like, okay, something, ugly is about to happen. Choose the right way. Choose happy. And now that's now my automatic position. And I almost questioned myself going, how come I'm not going down the dark road? And then I'm so easily reminded, because everything always works out for me, because it's always good. Even when it doesn't look good, even that not looking good thing ends up turning to be a good looking thing. Yeah. So it's like, it's cool.
Yep.
That's now, what's interesting, because my sister was asking questions about, you know, so how did I create this crash on my cell phone? And I said, and I didn't know at the time. And some of the speculations I'm playing with, but I don't have this as definitive yet, is I have been wondering when it would be time for me to upgrade my phone, and how would I know? Well, if it's dead, that creates the timing.
Yeah, that's a good clue.
my client, it was very interesting. I think she's on an iPhone, because I'm on an Android, and whenever an iPhone user sends a message, it's broken up into a whole bunch of messages.
Ah.
Because they only get, it, almost like Twitter, there's only so many characters per post. And so my phone just kept dinging and dinging and dinging. And finally I looked at it and it's like, yep, one after another. And it was something that had just occurred for her. And she was really, really angry. And my thought was, even my sister said this. I'm so proud of my sister. Even my sister said, do you think her anger was the vibration that blew up your phone?
Oh, very good.
I said, it's very possible that that could have been a part of it.
Yeah.
I said, it can't be all of it.
No.
Because I'm a co-creator in this too.
Right. Yeah.
But I said, could that have been a part of it to kind of help push my phone over the edge so that I could go buy a new one? Absolutely possible.
Sure, that is.
My ex-husband used to blow up transmissions and engines like you would not believe.
Really?
Yeah. When his anger like went to like the extreme level and he'd get in his car, all of a sudden, either transmission or engine problems would happen.
Wow.
And I've never known any individual that had to have their engine and transmission looked at more than him. So,
yeah.
You know, we are electrical beings. And we give off electrical charge. We don't see it, but we do. And the things we play with or touch or focus on can easily be affected by our mood or our energy.
Yeah, it is.
And, something to think about.
Well, yeah. And as you're talking about that, I was asking myself, did I ever blow out a transmission? And no, I've never done that. Have I ever blown out an engine? Well, on a really, really old car, yeah, I've done that. And in fact, you mentioned the book. The last story in the book is the story of how Louise and I, to make a very, very long story short, ended up wending our way from Virginia back to Connecticut, and along the way ended up getting a new home, new job for her, new cars, and new cats, all in one fell swoop.
I like that. And new cats.
And new cats, yes. And it's quite a tale, but one piece of the tale is that a car that I had that had, it was a Camry, had 237,000 miles on it. And I didn't blow the engine. That was actually the amazing thing. It wasn't that the engine blew. It's that it didn't blow. What it did instead is it drove around with no oil for the last 50 miles without cracking the engine block. And then I sold it for more than I thought I could get for it. I mean, to this day, that still blows my mind. I didn't blow the engine, but it blows my mind. So, no, I don't think I've ever really blown an engine. I mean, I did have one car one time that it was a Nissan that I just ran into the ground. It completely just died. There was nothing left. but that wasn't blowing an engine. That was just wearing the car out. I don't know if I've ever done that.
But it's fun to pay attention to what physical things occur and how they are metaphors for what we've been thinking or what we're experiencing.
Mm.
I mean, I think it was a year ago, I had a lightning strike in my home. And it definitely was lightning. And it definitely blew out a whole bunch of stuff in my house. But it's kind of like if somebody, an onlooker paid attention, they'd say, wow, you were really lucky. Because even when I called to do an Allstate claim, they said, well, what did the fire department say? I said, oh, I didn't call the fire department. I said, there wasn't even a fire. I said, no. I didn't even know lightning struck my house until about an hour after it happened. I heard it. I felt it reverberate through my body. But because the electricity only flickered and I was downstairs, I didn't know what had really happened till I'd come upstairs And like my whole office was, all the electricity was out there, and it was out in a couple other places. But long story short, I was looking for what's the metaphor in this. And, you know, the metaphor for me would be different than the metaphor for you or anybody else. So it's not like just because an engine blows out, it means that you were angry and you need to like stop being so angry. It's not as cut and dry as that.
Great point.
The universe uses these things to help us understand what's going on in our world or what needs attention. And for me, the lightning, that the guidance I was given concerning the lightning strike was all about this massive energy surge that went through not only my house, but I felt it go through my body. I mean, I was sitting in front of my TV. I had just plugged in a brand new sound bar, and I was getting ready to test it when the lightning went through, and I was sitting on the couch, and I felt like I've never felt something this powerful move through me. And I literally said, oh my God, what was that? Because it was huge. It was something I couldn't not feel. And that's why I didn't know what it was. I mean, it felt very shocking, but it didn't hurt. It was just something I could, I had, all of my senses were aware of something. And I knew that, like, you know, when thunder and lightning come in a really short period of time, you know, it's really close by.
Right. Yeah. The timing. Yeah.
And the clap of thunder and this reverberation going through my body happened almost simultaneously.
So really, really close. Yeah.
Which is how I later knew that the lightning went through my, my chimney. And the first room is my office, which is why that's where I call that one ground zero. And I actually saw, like, it, it had blew the transformer of my printer. And so it had literally, it looked like a gunshot. I have like a quarter size hole in my carpeting with black, what looks like gunshot residue.
Wow.
And the wall had like a splatter pattern of about 12 inches in diameter of what looked like gunpowder. So, I mean, it would, there was a literal explosion. Okay. So,
yeah,
I mean,
apparently.
Trust me when I say I had physical evidence of all sorts of things that went on, but it went through me. And so what my guidance was and what had come to me is this is not a bad thing. This was my internal Wendy body circuitry had just been affected and upgraded. Like I had an electrical surge of energy go through my body that helped to shift me.
Wow.
And that was like the universe's path of least resistance to give me a giant quantum leap.
Okay. And well, that I have to say, that's the first time I ever heard that. That's like amazing.
It was pretty darn amazing. And even from a monetary position, I ended up making $300 after, you know, you buy all the stuff and you put in the claims and whatever. I ended up with $300 extra. And that even included paying my deductible. It's like I got so much money back from the insurance company. It paid off my whole deductible. And I got to upgrade all my appliances that got blown out.
As an extra benefit.
Yeah. So, I mean, when I call it an upgrade, it was an upgrade in my devices, my house, my electricity. I now have a huge surge protector over my whole house, but I personally got an upgrade of a level that like I couldn't have even fathomed. I could never have dreamed of that one. I would have thought, how many seminars or Abraham workshops would I have to go to up-level my personal circuitry to the level that this lightning bolt did for me.
Now that sounds like one of the nice science fiction episodes of some show.
Okay.
I mean, where you get the download, right? You know, you get like you're hooked into the Star Trek transporter, and while you're transporting, all of a sudden this jolt of data just flows into your body, and you become this higher level being. That sounds like something out of Star Trek.
And that's kind of what happened. And that was not, let's see, we're now in May. So that was last April. I think it was last April 2nd is when this happened.
Okay.
So because I'm always asking, well, what in me attracted this, or what was my vibration that brought this about? Well, I got to tell you, I was asking for some really big things. I wanted some big movement in my life. I got it.
Yeah, we've actually been party to hearing what some of that big stuff has been, too. So, yeah, I'm not surprised now.
Yeah.
So, you made a great point,
by the way. I didn't know what it was going to do at the time, but I always go looking and asking for what things mean, what the metaphor is, because I love knowing that stuff. I can't imagine, Walt, how my life would have been had I gone, oh, crap. Lightning struck my house. I have to replace all these things, blah, 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 blah. And would have missed out on the knowledge of having my own personal circuitry upgraded.
Very probable.
If I would have gone through that experience not knowing that, it would have just been a pain in the neck because it took me months to replace everything. But, you know, because I knew that this was such a positive experience in my life, I was happy in every aspect of what I did. Every bit of it just had this tone of such joy. It blew my mind. And I have a big house. And so because I live alone, I can't get to a telephone if it's far away. So I had 10 telephone extensions in my house so that pretty much I had a phone in any room. All of my phone systems went out.
Wow.
Well, telephones represent communication. And so I love the metaphor in that, which is all of my communication devices had to be upgraded and replaced. I love that.
What you got.
So I'm like, oh, cool, better communication.
That's
loving
exactly
that.
What you got, yeah. I also love the point. I wanted to make sure we didn't skip over it because you kind of touched on it fast. But I think it's a really important point and it applies to a whole lot of situations, particularly conversations I've seen online, that when something happens, when there's some kind of a sign or whatever, it doesn't necessarily mean X. It isn't one size fits all. And I mention that because there are so many people who say, I just saw 111 or I just had some synchronous experience happen. What does it mean? Like there's a book that you go to, right? You check, well, here's what the official guide to signs tells us that this means. No, that's not what it is at all.
So can I tell you, this is what I tell people who see 111, 222, 1313 and all those. They think those are fun numbers.
Right.
And they go, what does that mean? And I'll say, because you were focusing on that number. Because I had somebody recently tell me that they had learned, oh, it's one of my clients, that she had read somewhere that one of the signs that law of attraction is working in your life, which I think is funny because you know it's always working.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say.
One of the signs, I wasn't going to nitpick with her. One of the signs is that you'll see 111 everywhere. Well, she started telling me she's seeing 111. And she asked me about it, and I said, I'll be honest with you. To my knowledge, there is nothing special or unique about seeing 111. However, whatever you give your attention to, you'll begin to see more of it. More of it will come to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have focused on 999, and then you would start to see 999 sequences. But it's whatever you give focus to. And you know, Abraham tells this wonderful story about a client that they worked with years ago when Esther was seeing people individually, and they were trying to make a point about how you can use law of attraction to attract things. But they were saying, you know, it's best to start by testing law of attraction with something you have no attachment to. And they said, such as butterflies, you know, and Abraham talked about butterflies for like the next 60 to 90 seconds. And then Abraham went to give another example, and it was about blue glass. And they talked about blue glass for about 60 to 90 seconds. And then they talked about feathers for about the same length of time. Well, the client really was not interested in how Abraham was putting this together and was just a frustrated, not satisfied customer. But meanwhile, Esther and Jerry go out to eat. And when they're leaving the restaurant, they're walking down this area where there's some shops, and Esther says, I really want to go in the shop. And Jerry's like, really? He's like, yeah, I don't even know why. I just feel like walking in. So Esther walks in, not really knowing what she's looking for, but felt really compelled to go in the store. And as she heads to the back of the store, because she's still trying to figure out why am I in here, she sees this wall just filled with blue glass plates, goblets, vases, all these things made of blue glass. And she thought they were beautiful, but went, okay. And then she got the hit, she could leave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they left. And then they're walking, and all of a sudden, there is this flurry of butterflies. Like so many butterflies they'd never seen in one place. They literally had to close their mouth, or they would be chomping on them.
Wow.
And they're looking at each other like, oh my God, what's this with all these butterflies? And still nothing was coming to either one of them. And then they go walking, they're walking along the beach, and this little boy with great intention starts running towards Esther. And both Jerry and Esther were like, whoa, let's stop. This child is definitely coming our direction. And he hands Esther a feather.
Mm.
And then the little boy walks away. And it was upon that that Esther went, oh, my goodness. Because remember, when Esther is receiving Abraham, she's not in a normal conscious state.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, when she received the feather, she had the memory of delivering to this woman the information about how to test law of attraction. And the ideas were butterflies, blue glass, and feathers.
I love that story. I've heard that one before, and I love that.
So if somebody were to say, why did the little boy give her a feather? Well, the meaning is not like, oh, you're going to start to fly, or you're going to fly on a trip somewhere to Rome. It was because that's what Esther had focused on. Now, she wasn't consciously aware of it, but she had focused on blue glass, butterflies, and feathers.
At Abraham's direction, too.
Pardon me?
At Abraham's direction.
Yes.
Yes.
And sometimes the simplistic meaning as to why things show up in our life is because we focused on it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean we're supposed to take an action. It doesn't mean, you know, oh, this person now represents such and such. It could be something as simple as I focused on 111. So, of course, I started to see 111. Mm-hmm. That's the way this works.
That's true. It's the way the human mind works.
When I was a Christian and people would talk about, you know, the evil in 666, that created so much fear for me. I saw 666 everywhere I went.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
I got to tell you, I hardly ever see 666 anymore because it's not something I focus on. And if I do, I give so little attention to it. It's like, oh, it's a number. It doesn't have any meaning, doesn't have any significance. It's just a number. That's how I interpret it now, that it's no big deal. So I like that you're bringing up, you know, like people think that things mean things intrinsically.
Oh, yeah.
They don't.
And people will defend it. They'll defend it vigorously. I mean, there's one woman in particular who always looks for those posts where people are asking about, well, what does this number mean? And she'll say, oh, well, it's an angel number. And here's the link you go to find out what the angel number means and so forth. It's very important to her.
Mm-hmm. And it may be very important to her.
Exactly.
And when those numbers show up in her life, that may be how the universe and her inner being communicate to her. But it's not universal. It means that for everybody. You know, I'm thinking of what's it called when their body just literally disintegrates.
Death?
It's like a natural internal combustion. Okay. I see it on shows every now and then where these weird scenarios happen where, you know, somebody came to visit their grandma and they come in the front door and grandma is burnt to a crisp sitting in her rocker.
You and I definitely watch different programs because I've never seen that.
Okay. There's a name for it, but... You know, somebody asked Abraham one time what that's about, and Abraham talked about how they had so much contradictory desire. Well, actually, they had such incredibly strong desire for what they wanted. It was so powerful and so strong, but simultaneously, they had so much intense resistance that they internally combusted. I think that's what it's called, human internal combustion. Huh. That their internal electrical systems literally fried. So if you've never heard of that, yes, that really happens. And yes, I've seen that. And yes, there are people who write books on it. But wow, that is like the extreme of somebody who's the ultimate. I mean, they want like with so much intensity, but they're so blocked and are not able to receive it that their resistance and their desire has so much contradiction that they literally internally combust. So why do I bring that up? I know that's kind of gruesome, because that's what it might mean for one situation. But you know what? Someone else could have a lightning bolt strike through their body and they die. Mm-hmm. And I think it could be the same thing, because their desire is so powerful, but their resistance is even more powerful. And it just, that's how that scenario came through. Now, for me, I received electricity. It went through me in such a way, but in a way, there was very little resistance because I didn't even feel pain.
Mm.
It just was, I mean, I don't even think the electricity itself went through me, but I feel like I got like the after effects, the residual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it was a gentle version of something that could have been massive. Because I have a friend who's been hit by lightning twice.
Really?
Yeah. And she had some real medical things because of it.
I'm sure,
really,
yeah.
Affected her in a negative way. Mm. But so, you know, to your point, every circumstance has its specific meaning for the specific individual.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like you don't go to the glossary or a dictionary or the Google to find out what it means. You got to ask your inner being.
And there are a lot of examples of this fact, the fact that no sign means the same thing for all people. There are lots of examples in human experience. I mean, one that just comes to my mind in the field of psychotherapeutics. Sigmund Freud very famously has been quoted as saying, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. It can for certain people under certain circumstances, but sometimes it's just a cigar. That's all it is. And that it's a good reminder that it would be like expecting every sign that ever comes to us to always mean the same thing. And then because it has one fixed meaning, we're supposed to try to figure out what that fixed meaning is in relation to our lives. And very often, you know, the sign that comes, you try to apply what the fixed meaning is, and it doesn't make sense, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's going to happen a lot more often than not, just because everybody has different kinds of experiences. Their inner beings are trying to communicate different messages to them. You know, trying to fit all that into one sign? How would you do that? It doesn't work.
Well, and
unless the sign can mean different things to different people.
And since we're on this topic, I will share here's like my best practice for when something occurs in my life and I don't automatically get the understanding. I will usually be led to Google something or ask a question or look deeper into something. Like my sister had asked her friend who was helping her with her lawnmower, okay, so you're taking the carburetor and the fuel lines. What do those things do and how do they work together? And then he said something about the ignition. And fuel line and ignition were the two key words that stuck out to her. And she didn't know what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
But when she had the big aha, those two words had to do with how she was igniting the fuel in her for X, Y, and Z.
Oh, okay.
And so it's kind of like I love to pay attention to what things are about, because sometimes that gives me the clue as to what's going on for me. Now, I also have this laminated chart I bought at a holistic store a long time ago. It was like a holistic medical place, a metaphysical thing that had like stones and crystals and whatnot. And it had like all sorts of different parts of the body listed, and it would explain like what those parts of the body signified. And so sometimes, like, let's say I have a problem with my foot, I might look feet, and it'll tell you feet represent, let's say, the ability to move with flexibility. And if it's your left foot, it means this. And if it's your right foot, it means this. And if it's the toes, it means this. And sometimes I go to that chart to just go get a quick, easy reference and see if that helps me get some insight. And if that doesn't work, sometimes I'll go to Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life. She has a wonderful chart with all sorts of ailments and diseases and symptomology, and she'll say what it represents, and she has a beautiful affirmation that you can begin to kind of like use to meditate and help shift that in your life. So it's kind of like it's been well known, I think, for a very long time that things represent spiritual meaning. And, yep. You know, but it's different for everybody, because there are times I can read Louise Hay's book and go, yep, I read that. Nothing about that explanation is popping for me.
Mm.
And when I say popping, it's like the words just feel like they're just words.
Yeah. Doesn't fit.
It nothing about it is resonating.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm reading the little chart, you know, with the body parts, sometimes they have really long explanations of long meaning, and I'll go, it might have to do with tension. And I'll keep reading. I'm like, yeah, but none of these other things are fitting. So then I'll take the word tension. I'll go, okay, so right now my breadcrumb that I've been given is the word tension. So what else fits with that? And I just keep asking questions until I somehow fit all the little breadcrumb pieces together and get a whole piece of bread.
Which makes sense, because the real task isn't to try to compare to a glossary to find out what the official meaning is. The real task is to find out what's the message.
For you specifically.
Yeah. Not what does this thing objectively mean. What is your message? What is it that's being communicated to you? That's really what we're trying to find out anyway.
I mean, because our emotions have messages, but sometimes we don't catch it, because sometimes the emotions are subtle. Or sometimes the emotions we're so used to experiencing them, we kind of don't even pay attention to them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, it usually becomes, it'll become a circumstance, like my phone blowing up, or it'll become something in the body. Like I have one that I have not figured this one out, but yesterday morning I woke up with my right index finger, just the top part of it, like, you know, where your finger creases. So like the part maybe quarter inch below my fingernail, that top part of my finger was numb. And I could push on it and it would tingle. And it's like, it was just numb. And I thought after I woke up, oh, I must have slept on it funny. And, you know, the feeling will come back. It didn't. I mean, for hours, my finger was numb and I kept pushing it going, this is just weird. This is weird. And I'm like, okay, what is this about? What have I been thinking on? And I'm like, okay, it's my pointer finger. It's not the middle finger. It's not my pinky, the pointer finger. And what kind of came to me is it's kind of the shame on you finger. You know, when a parent or somebody points and shakes it. And so I'm like, okay, well, is there any kind of shame, or am I being controlling, or I'm like scolding, or I don't know. And it was just, I was wondering. And then I noticed by the end of the day, I just happened to pay attention to it and went, oh, the feelings come back. Huh.
Yeah.
So what that told me from, you know, Abraham's post-manifestational evidence procedure, it told me that whatever thought or belief I was holding on to that caused the numbness, I have now shifted or changed, because the numbness is gone. Because when you change the thought or belief, the indicator, which is the numbness in my finger, has to disappear. I never really knew exactly what it was, but I kind of have a slight feeling, and I don't want to talk about it, but I have a slight feeling as to what it is.
Well, we won't pry it out of you. Besides, there's not enough time anyway, because I have a slight feeling that if we don't end this thing pretty soon, the music's going to start and it's going to be over anyway. So, Wendy, it's been great. Let's do it again tomorrow.
You got it.
And we'll hope that you'll join us as well next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye for now.